going to read Romans 5 again, and so I'm going to ask you if you would either turn in your bulletin to where you find it, and actually where the sermon is, that should have said verse 6 as well. So we're going to read from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, or of course, if you would like to turn in your Bibles and read from there as well. So Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. So I'm just taking a one-week break here. Well, actually, we've already had 2 weeks of break from Ezekiel. As it's thank offering time, I thought I would talk a little bit about that offering, that heart of offering that ought to be in God's people, and to do that from Romans chapter 5. So the text there begins, as you heard earlier, therefore, sorry, I still heard a few pages turning, so I thought I'd give you a chance. Okay. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And there we end the reading of God's word. Now, during this time, one of the things that's been kept up before our hearts is that we are part of a church. We are part of an army. That is sending other people out into the harvest field of the Lord, right? So that we are part of raising up ministers of the gospel. And we do that when we welcome interns to come here, but we also do that when our gifts are used so that those brothers can do that ministry free from worldly care, right? They're not half the time working some other job and then half the time entering into the ministry of the gospel, which is an honorable thing to do, but we would pray that if the Lord gives us that gift, that we might in history see it more and more manifest itself. Or that those brothers go and plant churches far away from us, whether in this country or out of the bounds of this country, right? So as we've been doing that, we might ask ourselves why, right? And part of the reason I think you find the answer to that question is found in Romans chapter 5, right? In Romans chapter 5, it says, therefore, that because of what Jesus has done for us, our conscience is in a particular state. You see that? That because Jesus has died for the sins of his people, our conscience now says peace. And why can it say that? It can say that because it can say forgiven. You've been forgiven of your sins. If you've been forgiven of your sins, then when God looks at you, he looks at you, and what is it that he says to you? We read it oftentimes in the scripture. Grace to you and peace, right? And then one of the other things that you saw in that text, it said that there is a love of God that you experience or that you feel. Now, one of the places that we sum this up in our statement of faith is in Larger Catechism question 83. And I'd like you to turn in the back there, if you would, of your hymnal and look at that. You might want to keep your hymnal open because I'm going to look at a couple of other things also. So, Larger Catechism question 83. Sorry, I didn't look up a page number for my sermon notes, so give me just a second here. Looks like page 949. Okay, so you're in your hymnal. The page number's at the bottom when you get to the back, page 949. Okay? Now, there in that question and answer, it says this: what is the communion in glory with Christ which members of the invisible church enjoy in this life? Okay, so there is a glory that all of us as Christians enjoy in this life, and that's what I want to hold before you this morning out of this part of the statement of faith. And Romans 5 is the proof text for a lot of this as you read through that, right? And so what it says there is, this is the glory belongs to you in Jesus, that the members of the invisible church have communicated to them in this life the first fruits of their glory with Christ, as they are members of Him, their head, and so in Him they are interested in that glory which is He is fully possessed of. And as an earnest thereof, they enjoy the, okay, here's, they enjoy a sense of God's love. And they enjoy peace of conscience. And they enjoy joy in the Holy Ghost. And they enjoy the hope of glory. And I'm just going to stop right there, right? Okay? So, now, if you belong to Jesus, what that says, I want you to get in touch with your Presbyterian feelings right here. Okay, that says that you feel the love of Jesus. It says you feel the peace of your conscience. It says you feel joy in the Holy Ghost. It says you feel a hope of glory. Now, that, I would say, is about as pinnacle of all the blessings that we have. Now, I'm not saying that's a pinnacle of all the blessings that we have as you experience it, isn't it? Now, you could say there's more foundational blessings that all that has to rest on. We'll come to that in just a minute. But think about that in your own life. When you feel that Jesus loves you and you feel that your conscience is at peace, just for instance, what's one thing that is very reasonable out of a heart that feels those things? Number one, it wants to express that to God, right? That's why we sing to God. We don't just talk to God. That's why we compose poetry to God and sing poetry to God. Because we feel this love, and that when you feel that love, you have to express it in a way that is reasonable for that feeling, don't you? Okay, so that's one thing we have to do. Another thing we have to do, or that seems reasonable as Christians, we don't want that feeling to say, I don't want to keep that feeling to myself. And so what do I want to do? I hope my neighbors will feel peace in their conscience. I hope my neighbors will feel the love of Jesus in their hearts. I hope my neighbors will feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. And so what do? Well, a lady in the prayer meeting says she goes to Costco. When you go to Costco in noon, all the tables are full. And so you order a hot dog at Costco, and then you sit down at a table with someone, or you ask them, hey, can I sit with you? And then when you sit down and talk to them, you can talk to them, right? She said she's had three opportunities that the Lord has given to her to speak about the beauty of who Jesus is to these folks. Okay? And we've talked about other things that lots of other examples. We can multiply lots of other examples in the congregation if that's what we do. Okay? Now, but our hearts don't only reach out to this, or our hearts aren't only longing that our near neighbors would experience these things, but we long that our far neighbors would experience them as well, right? So maybe we want our neighbors in Cottonwood to hear these things. And in the past, what do? Well, we took about 10% of you or 20% of you, and we sent you over to Cottonwood, and we started a church. And we started that church, why? So that our neighbors in Cottonwood could do that, right? So we shared of what God had given to us of the family of God, and we took them and we put them over there, and we asked the Lord to give them a preacher, and the Lord gave to them a minister of the gospel, right? All out of the gifts of this congregation, out of the prayers of this congregation, and out of some help from the denomination and from the presbytery. And so that the joy that the hearts and the love of Jesus in the hearts that we experience could be more a part of what's going on in Cottonwood. Okay, now, we could probably do that in Cottonwood. Maybe we could do that in Flagstaff. Maybe we could get down to Anthem. But it's kind of hard, right? Not many of you are commuting from much further apart than that, right? Unless you're just visiting for a week. So what are we going to do if we want the joy of the Holy Ghost to be in Haiti? What do you do if you want the joy of the Holy Ghost to be multiplied in Uruguay? What do you do if you want the joy of the Holy Ghost to be multiplied in Quebec? Or Uganda, right? Or we could probably name lots of other places. Well, we could send you, right? Okay, so some of you do volunteer. All right, I'm going to go. Maybe on a short term or maybe on the long term. But that's one way to do it. But another way to do it is that we give of our resources so that that might happen. And that's what this thank offering thing is about. Excuse me. That we want the joy of the Holy Ghost, that we want the peace of conscience, and we want people to feel a love that Jesus pours out upon them, and we want that all over the world. Okay? So, now, let's talk about a couple of caveats here. Caveat number one is what we're talking about when we're talking about that Jesus loves me, this I know that these people are feeling, has to be done in a particular way. And there are lots of people out there in the world who have church on the front of a building and who meet in that building, and they experience a joy, but it's not the joy that what we just read in the statement of faith is talking about. They have a peace, but it's not that peace. They have a feeling of love, but it's not this feeling. Now, why is that? Because the source of those feelings isn't Jesus. Right? So we had at the Bible study this past Wednesday, we had a guy tell us, my wife's been invited to this Bible study. She's been invited, 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 invited. She keeps trying to put them off, so she puts them off. And finally, she says, okay, I'll go. So she goes to this Bible study, and at the Bible study, they start playing some music. And the leader says, just sway to the music and feel the music, okay? Now, what'd she do? Well, she sat down immediately and said, okay, now why? Why? Because it seemed like what the leader is trying to do is say, base your feelings out of the music, right? Now, as Christians, what do? We base our feelings out of Jesus, and when you have those kind of feelings, that music is appropriate to it. You see the difference, right? So that people receive a peace of conscience that is grounded in Jesus, not a peace of conscience that's, say, grounded in worldly psychology that has nothing to do with Jesus. Right? So what we're talking about here is these kinds of emotions that we want for ourselves, therefore we want them for our neighbors, but that they are grounded in Christ. And that's why I wanted you to hold your hymnals open for just a minute here, and let me look at a couple of other things. So look at, if you'll flip over a couple of pages to question 155 now. Question 155. 153. Okay. Now it says there, what does God require of us that we might escape his wrath and curse by reason of the transgression of the law? Okay, so the assumption here is that there is a transgression of the law that has occurred for every human being outside of Jesus, and that transgression of the law brings guilt and a curse. And so the question is, what do we do about that? How do you avoid that? How do you get out of that situation? Okay, now, and what it says here is that we may escape the wrath and curse of God due to us by the reason of the transgression of the law. He requires of us three things: repentance toward God, faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ, and a diligent use of the outward means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of his mediation. Okay, now, back in question 83, I kind of skipped over the word, but it says, what is that communion in glory that we have? That was the question. How do we commune with Jesus Christ in the glory that we're going to experience in heaven, but we're doing it now? And that's where we're talking about those feelings, right? That's how we commune. Now, this is talking about what, now, this says here at the end, what are the means where Christ communicates to us, right? Okay, which means he bestows upon us and we receive, or he bestows upon us and we respond, right? Okay, so what we need to do is we need to repent, and we need to believe, and to say it in our terminology today, we would say it this way: you need to enjoy your relationship with Jesus. Repent, right? And then believe, and then enjoy your relationship with Jesus. Now, what would you say of a person who says, I believe in Jesus, but doesn't want anything to do with the relationship with Jesus? Or repents and says, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. We would say, brother, I love you. I don't think you're saved. Right? Now, they might say that. They might say, I've done those things. But if you don't want a relationship with Jesus, now that brings us to the next point. How do you have a relationship with Jesus? Now, you remember what I said about the lady in the Bible study. What did they think? Or what is the danger of what they thought? The way that you have a relationship with Jesus is through this tune, right? This tune that's going, right? But what does the Bible say, and therefore what does our statement of faith say? What our statement of faith says is the way you have that relationship with Jesus is you have it through the preaching of the Word of God, the reading of the Word of God, the sacraments of God, and prayer. Right? That's how you have it. That's the way Jesus is communicated to us. And therefore, what we want in the Prescott Presbyterian Church is the pastor to stand up here and tell us about Jesus so that we can communicate, that we can receive Jesus. And when that happens and we do that rightly, then what will happen? Joy and peace and love, right? And all those kinds of things. That's what we want to happen. All right. Now, okay, pastor, I've been around the means of grace, and the means of grace don't seem to be making me happier. Or the means of grace don't seem to give me a sense of the love of Jesus. Now, if that's happening, what's the problem? Or let's talk about that for just a second, okay? Okay, so here's the situation. Where do feelings come from? Just generally, right? Where do feelings come from? Well, let's just say this. Let's talk about this particular feeling. What makes you feel loved? Right? And I would say, what makes me feel loved is that somebody expresses love for me in a way that I want to be loved, right? In a way that I'm hungry for, in a way that I'm thirsty for. I would like to be, I would like to have that expression of love, right? If I was walking along the side of the street and a reputable person saw me and I was about ready to fall over because I was so tired, I would feel loved if they would pull over and offer me a ride, right? Okay, that kind of idea. Okay, so then, the experience is one way to get it. The other way to get it is to just tell the story, right? So I just told you the story. You put yourself in that situation and you realize, oh yeah, I would feel loved if somebody did that. Okay, that's what the Bible does over and over and over again for you. When it says to you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. Now it doesn't just say that propositionally, Jesus loves you. But it shows you how it is that Jesus loves you. Okay, so that's Romans 5. So look at, now, let's just take your bulletin, leave your hymnal open, but look if you want, if you can look in the bulletin there, right? Okay, therefore, having been justified by faith. Okay, now, so what do? The more my heart meditates on, I'm justified by faith, I'm justified by faith, I'm justified by faith, I'm justified by faith. Assuming I know what that means, right? I understand what that means. Then what's going to happen in my conscience? My conscience is going to say, I'm at peace with God, I'm at peace with God, I'm at peace with God, right? So when the Bible says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on my behalf, what happens to my conscience? Ah, peace, right? So the more that I think about what Jesus has done for me in that way, the more my conscience is at peace. Therefore, what we hope that the pastor will do, what the ministers will do throughout the world, is tell people what Jesus did so that their consciences will be at peace. Okay, now go to the end of that passage. All right, and it says there, now notice, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So what's the Holy Spirit doing? God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. That's what that says, right? Okay, so you go, okay, God loves me. And what that's supposed to do is that's supposed to stir up in me the feeling that God loves me, right? Now let's go one more step. What does it say? For, right? The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit is given for us. For, when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, do you see how those two things are linked? Christ died for the ungodly means what? Jesus loves me. That is the someone pulling over on the side of the road for you when you're about to fall over yourself. That's the expression of his love. Okay? So the more you hear Jesus loves me, the more you meditate in your heart that Jesus loves me, what's going to happen in your heart as well? The more you're going to say, I feel that Jesus loves me. Okay? So you hear on the cross, it is finished. When you meditate on that, what do you know? Jesus loves me. And then what do you know? Or what do you feel? What can you feel? Right? Okay. I thirst. Why does he thirst? Because of us, right? Go back to Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53. He was crushed for our iniquities, right? Okay, so your heart, when your heart is filled with he is crushed for my iniquities, what kinds of feelings does then well up? Then one of them is, I think, that we understand that Jesus loves me, right? Okay, now, if you're back in your hymnals again, you're going to go to the back and I'm going to look at question 155, right? So question 155. Now, before I do that, I need a parenthesis here. Preacher, why so much statement of faith in the back? Can we just leave that thing aside and talk about the Bible? Okay, so now, what's very helpful, I'll get to one other thing a little bit later, but what's very helpful in this case is, okay, let's just think of our John 3:16, right? Okay, let's just think of John 3:16 for a second. Suppose I read to you John 3:16, okay? For God. What's important right there at that point when you read that verse? What's my concept of God, right? If you think God is puny and you think God isn't in charge and you think God is just wringing his hands and waiting for you to do something, you're going to read John 3:16 different than somebody else who doesn't, right? So there's a theology that you've got to have for the vocabulary of the Bible. And when you have that theology of the vocabulary of the Bible, then you can understand verses well. Now, one of the ways that you can get that, I would argue, is that you can get that through a statement of faith. Through a statement of faith, what we would say is a bunch of ministers of the gospel got together and they prayed about these things and they thought about these things and they took the time to look at all the Bible, right? They took the time to look at all the Bible and then summarize all that Bible for you down here. Now, and so I'm holding out to you that expression that's what this is. Now, what's your responsibility? Your responsibility is to go back home, if I don't open it up for you here, and say, is that really in the Bible? Is Larger Catechism 83 really in Romans 5? Right? And then if you're convinced of that, then you could say, okay, I'm supposed to feel Jesus loves me. I'm supposed to feel a peace of conscience. I'm supposed to feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. And the way I do that is by meditating more and more upon how Jesus loves me and all those things. Or the more I do, I sit under preaching that does those things for me and with me, right? Okay, now, so then what we said is, so you remember we said that what God requires of us is he requires of us repentance and faith and to use the means of grace or to enjoy this relationship. If you don't enjoy the relationship, it's not going to surprise you that you're not going to have the feelings of enjoying the relationship. Okay, so just let me give you just one example, right? Okay, so how do we enjoy this relationship? The Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of enlightening. Now, when you get enlightened, what do you feel? See what I mean? Okay, and of convincing. And when you get persuaded, what do you feel? And when you get humbled, okay, so here's one more thing I wanted to say there. Okay, are you telling me the Christian life is only what we might say positive emotions, only joy, only love, only, right? No, that's not what we're saying. But we are saying those emotions need to be part of your life on a regular basis. In fact, those emotions are based on things that can't be taken away from you. Okay, I was thinking about this picture that you learn in about the third grade, I guess. I had to go back and look it up because I forgot from the third grade, but it's of the earth, right? And of the earth, it's about three or four pieces, right? One is the crust, and the crust is this little tiny thing like this. And then there's the mantle, and then there's an inner core and an outer core, right? And that's most of the earth. Now for you, Jesus Christ is that mantle, that inner core, that outer core, that really big part of the earth. Now, every once in a while, maybe very frequently, things are going to happen on the surface of your life, in this illustration, that are there and they are painful. You're going to have family and friends, they're going to die. Okay? And when they die, you don't have to come in Larger Catechism 53 smiling and laughing and telling jokes or whatever. Or even saying that, right, there's a place for weeping, right? Paul says that. we do weep, but not as people who don't have any hope, right? We don't let that overwhelm us. We don't end up permanently depressed because of losses or pains in this life. And there are lots of losses and pains in a congregation this size. We're not saying those things aren't painful, but what we're saying is that this love of Jesus and this this peace of conscience and this joy in the Holy Ghost is the foundation on which we are resting. And so that even when, you'd heard Paul say, there's times when it seems like I'm feeling distressed, by which he meant the things of this life, I didn't seem like I had enough to live on them. But did it cause him to panic? It did not cause him. Now, it's a temptation to do that, but what did he do? He came back to who Jesus is for him, and he enjoyed who Jesus is for him, and he says, I've learned how to do that, right? Okay, so good. So, with that parenthesis, I'm not saying this is only joy. Okay, so now, continuing on. Let's see. Oh, okay. Now, what else is going to happen here? It's going to drive you, okay, when the Word of God is made effective to salvation, it's going to drive you out of yourself. And it's going to draw you unto Christ. And it's going to conform you to His image. And it's going to subdue you to His will. Now, when you're conformed to the image of God, is that a thing to rejoice over? Yeah, and when it drives you out of depending on yourself and it draws you to Jesus and says, lean on my strength, trust in my strength. Is that a thing to sense the love of Jesus when you experience that? Yes. See, that's what I'm saying. Okay, I think I've got enough. I think I've got enough there in some details. Let me just see if I can summarize some things at this point. You are asked, what can I pray for our congregation? What can I pray for the entire Presbytery of Southern California, which is Arizona and California and Hawaii? What can I pray for the entire United States? What can I pray for the entire world? How about let's pray this, that they would experience the communion and glory with Jesus, that is, they feel that he loves them, and that they have a sense of his peace, and they have a sense of the Holy Ghost joy, and they have a sense of the hope of glory. That they felt those things. And they felt those things on the basis of what Jesus is doing and has done and will do for his people. Imagine what the church would look like. Imagine what the churches would look like. Okay? That's what we want, I think. That's one way to put what we want, right? Now, there's a lot of other things we want, right? We want a sense of awe when you come into the presence of God. We want a sense of when people are convicted of their sins, they're going to weep over their sins, right? But that's a good thing. They're going to grieve and sorrow for them. But what they do is they turn from their sins and they turn to God. And so we want those kinds of things. Okay, and that brings me to my last point. And my last point is, okay, why did you, Pastor, lean so heavily on the catechism here this morning? And this is why. Because Charles Jackson, in Uganda, took a vow. And what he says is, when I read the Bible, I believe the Bible, when you read it rightly, is expressed in the catechisms. So that when you give money to support the gospel going forth in Africa, you know that that man wants to see the same thing you want to see. He wants to see peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Ghost, hope of glory in Africa. Because he said that's what he believes. And every one of our gospel ministers that we send out, whether they're planting churches here or they're planting churches far away, they all said that's what we believe. When Tim stood up and he was licensed, what that means is he took some vows. He said, these are the things that I believe, and I'm going to go minister in that, those kinds of things. Now, that still doesn't take away from us the responsibility to say, is that really in the Bible? Right? It is really in the Bible. However, right, what we know is that they told us that's what they're going to do. So that when I can't package 20% of you up and send you to Uganda, what we can do is we can send your monetary gifts to Uganda, and they will do the same thing that is happening here and the same thing that is happening to you, at least we hope. Right? And so, as you are thinking about the thank offering this day, think about the joy and the peace and the glory that comes when this gospel goes forth in the world because of what you've done. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your grace to us in Jesus, that causes us to feel your love for us as we think about your death for us, your making us a family of God, your conforming us to your likeness, and so many other things that we ought to have joy about. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace to us, that you give us the opportunity to go to our friends and our neighbors and to offer to them joy and peace and hope of glory and a feeling of love from God himself. And we thank you, Lord, that we can reach people even far away and hope and pray that you might, in bringing Christ through the means of grace to those places in the world, that they also might experience the beauty of the communion in glory with Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you would multiply those things powerfully throughout all the world. In Christ's name, amen.